Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. Happy Thursday. It's December 4th. I'm in Minneapolis, where it is currently 4 below 0. It's 4 degrees below 0. Put it in the chat. Did I bring a coat? Put it in the chat. Did I bring a coat? I just want you to put it in the chat. It is currently 4 degrees below 0. It's going to warm up to 10 today. I head back to Tampa this evening, where I think it's going to be 80 today. So, those of you that live up here, God bless you. Okay, it's a special human. I know we have people on here from the Twin Cities. You are special people. I will be back in Tampa Bay tonight, which will be great. But I'm doing a shift workshop today for the North Central region. They're doing a shift / AI workshop, so I'm really honored to be up here. Olivia, who's the RD of this region, is a long-term friend of mine, and I'm so excited to spend the day with the wonderful people in Minneapolis. They are great, great people here. It's just too darn cold, but that's what we're going to do. So back tomorrow, and we are on day 4 of our 15-day business plan, and you guys have liked it. Put an emoji in the chat to describe how you feel about this series. We are breaking records on the podcast. We are getting massive people watching again on YouTube. Our Zoom calls are filling up usually by 1,000 people and by 7:45 or so for a conversation that doesn't even start till 8. So I thank all of you who are choosing to participate in this. My goal over our last calls of the year is to just set you up to win in 2026. And we put a lot of work into it. What we're doing is these different pieces. Every few days, we've got an Inspire bonus. So if you're an Inspire member, make sure you go in the portal and get your bonus. That lead flow tracker tool is what we gave you yesterday. And so here's how we're doing the calls. For the first 20 minutes or so, we kind of go back and revisit our conversation from yesterday. That way you can catch up if you haven't been on the call, or if you wanted to share yesterday and didn't have a chance to share, you now have a chance to share. And then at the top of the hour, we introduce our subject for the day. Now today's topic is all about database. I'm calling it a database deep dive, even though you can't deep dive in 20 minutes, but we're doing a database deep dive to make sure that you do have the right plan for that group of people. See, if you're on yesterday's call, what you heard us talk about is the importance of creating your lead flow map. You got to kind of know where the leads are coming from. And I reminded you that the research that our friend Vicky Lukacic, who works with me, said, she did the research, she said it, you only need 4, maybe 5 sources of business to hit your goal. It doesn't matter if you're a brand new agent or a millionaire real estate agent or somebody in between. You don't need 72 sources. You need about 4 or 5. Well, one of those is going to be your database. And so today we'll talk about getting into flow with them. People tell me all the time, my database is my number one source, but I find out you're under communicating with that group. I promise you, 98% of you on this call are under communicating with the database. And we'll talk about setting up a rhythm for that. But to recap yesterday, what we said was we want to know where your leads are coming from. What are your top lead sources? And so we just took an exercise that I talk about quite often from the Shift book, pages 54 to 57, where it says go and source your closings and your leads so that you know where to double down. You can go make a list of all of them. You can go list. Now, the book, Shift book, says just pull your closings, but I'm suggesting you also pull your leads. And you go through and you pull your closings for 2025 and you go source them and get very narrow, get very specific. And then that way you know where to double down. That way you know what strategies you should amplify in 2026 to get the best return. And you may or may not be surprised about what some of those are. Now I'm going to call on you to share in just a minute, those of you who went and looked at it. Inspire members, we created that. This lead flow tracking spreadsheet for you, that we took every lead source category that's listed in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent and then added some to it based on just changes in the industry since that book was written, and then asked you to go in and figure out what are your lead sources, or how many leads you got from each one, how many closings you got from each one. We weighted leads and closings differently to come up with a score, and then that tool automatically tells you what your top 5 are. Now, maybe you got that deep. My guess is you probably didn't yet, and that's okay. Maybe you got that deep, or maybe you just have an idea. But I want some hands up this morning for you to talk to me about your lead flow, takeaways and ahas you've had as you've gone and looked at where your leads truly come from. Maybe you doubled down on something this year and got really massive return on it. I just want to get this conversation rolling about your lead flow. And then at the top of the hour, we'll do your database deep dive. Melissa, good morning in Richmond. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, thank you so much. This has been a really cool week, and I plan to share later the vision, like the whole goal with the purpose. Is I always think of myself as like this goal-oriented person. However, I really have taken a lot of time and just listened and paused a bit this week about next year. And on my board, I keep a list of every single closing and then I tally numbers. I don't know why I've always thought of it that way, but we're definitely having a shift over here on how I'm going to think moving forward. But 60% of my business was agent-to-agent referral this year, up from 35% in 2024. And I was like, what do I think about that? I mean, of course, I've loved like helping cool partners from around the country. And it makes sense because I upped my game in all of the, like, I've been in some amazing rooms. I think I've hung out with you half the year, James. So I'm meeting all these amazing realtors and having opportunities within Keller Williams to speak. And that made sense, right? And then the other 40% was my past clients in Sphere. And I do a lot of events. We're running 10 events next year. I shared online some ideas last week. And it was just interesting, the whole agent-to-agent referral thing. So I really do love that. So for my buckets and pillars for next year, I definitely am loving all my age to agents. I've got some amazing conferences planned, but it made me think, you know what? No, you got to double down. Make sure your agent to agent referrals, even if I don't remember who this person is, they gave me a business card from 2024. I need to like reach out and wish happy birthday, friend on Facebook, just like be in relationship. So I don't know. I'm having some really big ahas this week. So I appreciate it.
Melissa, thank you. I'm glad you are. That's the point, right? That's the whole reason why we're doing this series, is for you to have these takeaways.
Yeah.
The thing that sticks out for me is it would make sense that a lot of your business is going to be agent-to-agent referral. You're on this call. You're part of the Inspire Collective. You come to our events. You go to KW's events. You're active. You're engaging to be around. You're a kind person. You're on the ALC. Like, all of these things are working out for you. So you've had this big growth in agent-to-agent referral, which means you need to probably make that one of those buckets, and you need to have a plan around communicating with that group so that you can keep that coming in.
Well, 100%. And like, I organized a dinner, Sharon Edelman and I pulled together like a group dinner at Advance, and 33 people came. And like, I ordered some charcuterie boards, and it was just kind of like last minute, like order some food as people come in and the panic of who's going to come. But I really loved pulling these people together for dinner. And so like, I mean, I know I'm a connector. So I plan to double down on events at our conference, like at our like meetups too.
Yep. I love that. That was one of the reasons why we didn't do a Monday night social, because people were doing things like that. So I love it. Speaking of Advance, I don't know, just a real quick money trail. I don't know if you saw the announcement, but yesterday we did share the date and location for Advance next year, which is an event we sold out. This year was our biggest event ever. So here's how to work. If you were at Advance this year, you'll get first shot at tickets, which I may release tomorrow, but probably Monday. You'll get a notice and I'll let you know. And then anyone else who would like to join us, get on the interest list. I'm going to put the link in the chat right now. advance.jamesdshaw.com. advance.jamesdshaw.com. Now, if you were at Advance this year, you don't need to be on the interest list. You'll already get the notification. But if you were not at Advance and want to come, that's our annual two-day business planning event. Get on the list. It's October 12th and 13th at the Vinoy in St. Pete, and it's going to be unbelievable. And by the way, the room rate we got for that, Melissa, is $239 a night. Normally, you pay $400 to $500 to stay there. So we've got a good room rate for everybody, too. So anyway, if you want to come to Advance next year, advance.jamesdshaw.com. Get on the interest list. Again, if you were at Advance this year, you don't have to get on the interest list. You'll get a notification, and you'll have first shot at tickets. All right, back to the task at hand, which we're recapping from yesterday, your lead flow. Where are your leads coming from? Were you surprised? How are you doubling down? When you did double down, what did you do? What's on your mind this morning, Robin? Good morning.
Sorry, finding the mute, hitting the wrong button. Actually, mine has come from my workout group, my boot camp that I go to inconsistently, which then tells me I need to be going more consistently for a whole lot of reasons. But I had, I think, three closings out of there alone. this last year and got a lead yesterday.
See? So show up there more often. Now you've got more incentive.
Yes. Not only will I stay heart healthy, I'll stay financially healthy.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I love it. Thank you, Robin. Appreciate you so much. Ellie McIntyre, good morning.
Good morning. In a balmy 32 degrees compared to yours. Yeah. So since my communication calendar, I just keep my head down and focus on every single month. I try to do the month in advance without taking into consideration that every event that I do is probably 10 to 15 touches. There's about 160 items on there where I'm reaching somebody every single year. So breaking that down to how many touches that ends up being a month. And some of the things we don't give ourselves credit for. I mean, if you're doing the DTD2, that's 4, possibly 8 touches. And if you have everybody on a bi-monthly market update, that's another 24 touches a year. So having those, but where my business is coming from, majority is my database. I think it's about 55% is my database, but 25% of my business is agent to agent referrals, which we get up at 6:30 every morning. I mean, it should be, right? Yes. We give back to our community. The big one is my 8% this year of my business came from, now I've always called them buyers of my listings. And my philosophy has always been, because I know that I stay in touch with more people, the minute that I close, they're no longer your client. And we always talk about this. Whose database is your client in? Well, they're not your client if you don't stay in touch with them. So 8% of my business has come directly from people that were never my client, but I've treated like VIP clients since they bought the house.
That's an orphan buyer, right? We just go pour into those.
That's what you call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And see, you know, see what we can get from that. Ellie, I love it. Your community involvement works. You should be getting a ton of agent-to-agent referral. I mean, it's just what you're sharing is similar to what Orly shared yesterday, which is that she doesn't have to think too hard about it. She just gets up and run her plays because she knows they work, and that's where you are too. And I want everyone to have clarity around that. Ellie, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Amiko, good morning to you in Chicago.
Hey, everybody. Good morning. So doing that sheet again, I feel like we did that a few months ago, and I was blown away by where my business really is coming from when I dug into it a little bit more. And my takeaway, especially as I am getting some clarity around what I want to do next year, is to really focus on the activities that I enjoy doing with the communities that I am already active in. And Bree said something yesterday in the chat that just was such a light bulb for me, but she said that her 3 priorities on her GPS are based on her top 3 lead gen sources. And we know that the best lead gen is the lead gen that you're actually going to do. And so for me, why not focus on the things that I enjoy and the things that I have success in, instead of chasing after, you know, the shiny objects or the new things or the things that might be working for someone else but aren't really in alignment with who I am. So I'm just super excited about that.
I'm excited about it too, and I'm glad you figured that out. And yes, Amiko, we have talked about this over and over and over and over, and we're going to continue to talk about it until y'all figure it out, which you are starting to do, which I'm very proud of you. All right, let's go to Toronto real quick. Hold on, Barb. I'm going to Toronto first because we don't hear from Irene a lot. And Irene, I flew over Toronto yesterday on my way from Boston to Minneapolis. I waved at you as we were on the way as we flew over Toronto.
I saw you. Did you see me wave back?
I saw you waving back. Thank you so much. What's on your mind?
Well, this is such a great conversation, James, because it is so important. We started really digging into our lead sources, oh gosh, more than a decade ago, probably 15 years ago, just because we were feeling like we were pinging all over the place. And when we sat down to do our business planning for 2026, and we got into the whole year of 2025 to see what our lead sources were, we were surprised, pleasantly surprised, that our farm, our geographic farm, was 38% of our business. Now, that's listings in the farm, that's buyers in the farm, and then the spinoff, because not everybody who lives in the farm buys or sells in the farm. They have other properties. They give us referrals. So we tracked all of that to the farm. So that was second only to repeat and referral for us, which was 40%. So we're like over 80% just from two sources. And then we had a little bit of door knocking, like random door knocking, random open houses. So realistically, like when we think about our budget, why bother trying to spend money on anything else? So, you know, we don't have Zillow up in Canada. So fortunately, that's not a distraction for us. But there's so many other distractions, so many things that you can be spending your money on. Now with AI surfacing, it's like everybody wants to do a little bit of everything here and there. And realistically, if you just take your energy and your efforts and your finances and put more of them into the things that are really working for you, why would you do anything else?
That this is by the way from an MREA who is telling you she has basically three sources, right? You've got three sources of business, two huge ones, and then some other ancillary ones. You don't need a bunch of sources, Irene. It's get big, you get narrow. Isn't that the answer?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Thanks,
Irene. Good to hear from you, Vicky DeLuca. You're next. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, this was really eye opening for me, and I have just taking a deep dive and looked at, you know, where I'm getting my business. And it, you know, it's 30% sphere, 10% social media, because I do a lot with dog rescue, and 20%, you know, agent to agent referrals, and 20%, you know, and door knocking, right? So I've got that, but that's more of my long game. So to me, I'm going to focus this year on my database. That's huge for me because my database needs major cleanup. I need to tag and add the smart plans. I haven't done it. It's crazy what I'm missing out on. So I am going to be adding the quarterly calls, the birthdays, and the neighborhood nurture. Those are the three that I'm going to focus on. And then I'll add other things after. But those are things I'm focusing on while I've got a little downtime with the holidays. I'm going to go and focus on cleaning up the database. And then I'm going to do, you know, maybe work on my micro events. I'm going to work on a few micro events because I did only the blessing baskets, and I'm going to maybe do a few micro events for the year, but I can't overwhelm myself. But I think if I just consistently stay in front of people, that's it. And this is just eye-opening. So that's it. That's what I'm working on.
Vicky, that's today's call that we'll do here in less than 10 minutes is all about database. Part of it is cleaning it up. You actually don't need every single person you ever come across in your database. And because then you have 8,000 people in the database that you'll never talk to any of them because it's too overwhelming. So we'll talk today actually about shrinking the size of your database while understanding that the size of it is also in direct proportion to the size of your business. So we're going to talk about this double thing. What I'm excited to hear from you as we had this conversation around lead flow is that you're just getting massive clarity about where the business comes from and where to devote and spend your time. And that's the point. So Vicky, great job. Josephine Wilson, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. So my three sources of business have always been my sphere, which is probably about anywhere from, I'm gonna say 70 to 80%, my past clients. 25% comes from my 20% comes from my vendors and agents. And then the other 10% would be orphan buyers and open houses. But I have to tell you, James, that every week or possibly multiple times a week, something you have said in the past or on this call has been in my head. I'll give you an example. This week, I have a client that I sold a house to 10 years ago, and I send a monthly newsletter to her. I make my phone calls. I invite her. Never comes to anything. Never responds. Never anything. I don't hear from her. A couple of text messages on Facebook. She sent me a $625,000 buyer that I got the buyer agreement signed. I was like, all I heard was your voice in my head when I got that text message this week was just keep showing up. Just keep being there. Just be in their face. And they hear you and they will call you when they're ready. And that happens to me literally 1 to 3 times a week. A month, maybe, I don't know, but it happens a lot. So it's just be there, just run the plays. I've just got to get more systematic, because if this is happening to me without having a firm, concrete plan, I can't even imagine what would happen if my business would blow up.
Yeah, it would. Just because you don't hear them doesn't mean they don't hear you. That is a message we have said on this call over and over and over again, which is why, again, we're starting to move into what we're going to do in about 5 minutes, but we got to stay in flow with it. That's a past client. Like, that's a person you had a relationship with. That's not someone we would delete because we've never heard from them. They should remain in our database and just trust that at some point they will have an opportunity for us and we'll be the one because we stayed in flow. Great share. All right, Barb, thanks for your patience. You're next. Good morning.
Good morning, James. And actually, it's warmer here than it is where you
are. Well, of course it is. It's warmer in Canada than Minnesota. That doesn't surprise me.
Anyway, so I got into this and it was an eye-opener as well. So my music community, I actually got 40% of my business last year from the music community, which was really kind of cool. Past clients was at 34%, and my events, which I absolutely love, was at 40%. So it's really, as everybody says, it's an eye-opener because I never tracked this stuff before. So this is helping, and it's making me actually look. And again, my database isn't bad for cleanup, but it definitely needs a dusting off, which is what I'm doing now.
It's really interesting that many of you do succeed when you could probably put a little bit more care and effort into tracking some things. And that once you do, your opportunity really expands because now you're not just kind of grabbing at everything. You've picked your three or four things that really work. So Barb, you know that music community is really important to you, which means you're going to put more effort into that space so that you can get more opportunity from it. Otherwise, you think it's working for you. But you don't know really if you should apply more effort. So great share. All right, Dean, you get the last one on this, buddy. Thank you for your patience. I appreciate it. And then we'll switch up topics. Good morning.
Hey, thank you so much for the opportunity. No problem at all. What I'm doing now a little bit differently is the sphere is 85% of what we do. And the rest is cold call leads, expires, cancels, FSBOs, things like that. I'm deficient in events, as you know, James, and I'd love somebody to give me the thoughts and advice on that. I might even reach out to one of the.
Well, maybe you don't need to do them. Like, that's part of the thing too, Dean.
Yeah.
If your business's database expired and for sale by owner, and events are not something you want to put the effort in on and do, then don't. That goes back to what we talked about the other day, which is figure out what's working,
right,
and then double down on the stuff that's working and that you like. You don't necessarily have to add events. Meg Dady is never going to call a for sale by owner and expired.
I know.
She's going to do events. And you guys are in the same town and you both can be successful running it a different way, right?
Right. Well, see, that's the thing. But what I'm trying to do now is try to tweak it a little bit. So I'm making it a practice, a religion, if you will, of asking people for referrals. I'm looking for 10 or 15 different scripts so I could say, hey, who do you know that I should know? But not exactly those words. And in doing that, I'm getting more referrals from my sphere. So the sphere is king or queen, if you will, and it's just a matter of getting more out of it, but also supplement it, what I call with the now business. Those are the cold call leads. But thank you so much, James. Appreciate
you, buddy. Thank you so much. All right. So that was our topic from yesterday, was really understand your lead flow map. Where are the leads coming from? It's important that you go and figure out what are your top lead sources and what are your top closed sources, so that as you go into 2026, you can make the right decisions about your lead gen strategy. If you're an Inspire member, you go into the portal and download this lead flow tracking sheet that we put together, where what we did with that one is we just simply took all of the lead categories that Gary mentions in the Millionaire Real Estate Agent. We added a few that maybe weren't as relevant back then and took some out that were super relevant back then and created this list. And then Inspire members, you go in and put in, here's how many leads I got from that category. Here's how many closings I got from that category. We created a formula to weight both of those. And then it tells you kind of what your top five are. And then that way you know which ones to double down on. That was the idea from yesterday. Now today we switch it up a little bit and we'll talk about the importance of your database and how to stay in flow with them. But before we do that, always at the top of the hour, we do a couple of tell me something goods. That's what we usually do here. And we're doing two each day the rest of the year just for time purposes. So it's Jessica and Fiona. Those are our two. Jessica, good morning.
Good morning, James. And, you know, as always, we say thank you for letting us share. But thank you for being a space where I learned I like to teach and I like to share. And so, like, pivot in 2024 just kind of launched my whole world of getting out there and doing a small little microcosm of what it is you do. But I have my first in-person presentation in a market center today, and I never thought I'd be nervous. And I'm sitting here trying not to cry because I'm kind of nervous, but I get to go down and teach in Kansas City to Kansas City KW Metro. So if you're in Kansas City and you're going to be in the market center, I'll see you today for team meeting. But never would have thought 18 months ago I'd be doing that. So thank you for leading from the front and opening my eyes to what I can do.
I'm proud of you. You'll do great. You've presented for us in the Inspire Collective. You crushed that. You will do a great job today. And you should be nervous, by the way. That nervousness shows that you care about what you're doing. So yes. Have butterflies. It's totally fine to have butterflies. Just getting flying in formation and going the same direction. All right, Jessica. Thank you. Proud of you. Fiona, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning from chilly Houston. So my something good is...
Chilly Houston. Give me a break. It's 4 below zero where I am in Minneapolis this morning. What is it in Houston? 50?
Probably about 50, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's all right, Fiona. Go ahead, friend.
So my something good is yesterday I went to a broker open house here for a luxury listing, a $5 million listing, and they had some giveaways, and I won a Gucci bag.
That's fancy. That is fancy.
I'm still
right
over
there.
The moon.
I'm happy for you. That's really fun. Congratulations, and stay warm. If you need to, you can get in it and get warm. Let's get after it this morning. A couple of things real quick. First, we're so excited because yesterday we officially announced the location for Advance 2026. Advance is our business planning event we do every fall. It's October 12th and 13th next year. We've moved up the dates a little bit. October 12th and 13th. It'll be at the Vinoy in downtown St. Pete. And so we would love for you to come. And we just had our Advance this a couple weeks ago. It was our largest event we've ever done. Here's how tickets will work. If you were at Advance this year in Tampa, you'll get a notification first before anybody else for a chance to buy your ticket for Advance 2026. Next up is anyone who's on our interest list. And so I'm going to drop that in the chat right now. So interest list link is in the chat. advance.jamesdshaw.com if you want to get on the interest list, and then we'll let you know when tickets are available. And then if there are any left, we will open it up to the general public. So that's how Advance will work. I'm so excited. The Vinoy is unbelievable. It's a gorgeous hotel, beautiful spot right in downtown St. Petersburg, and it's going to be great. The only thing, Barb, it's over Canadian Thanksgiving, just so you know. It's over Canadian Thanksgiving, but you tell me what's on the menu, and we'll have you fed. It'll be great. But anyway, so if you want to come to Advance, we'd love to see you. Get on that interest list, and we'll let you know when tickets are available. Next, we are doing our Pivot and Inspire Wrapped of the year. Did y'all get your Spotify Wrapped? We're doing our Pivot and Inspire one. We want to know, what are your top five favorite Wednesday webinars? Like, if you think about those Wednesday webinars that we happen to do every Wednesday because that's the best day for a Wednesday webinar, if there's a topic or one that stood out to you, put it in the chat. We want to know, what are your top five favorite Wednesday webinars? So let us know. All right, so let's get into the 15-day business plan. And I love that you all are excited about this. The feedback on it has been great. We are maxing out the Zoom. We're having huge engagement on all the different platforms. And I love that. That's what I want more than anything in the world, is to be able to add value to you. And so on Monday, day one, we said, let's create our goal for the year, but make sure it has purpose and meaning, that it's something that's about something. It's not just some made up number. If that's something you struggle with, go back and listen to Monday's call. Now, Tuesday was all about figuring out that process. So now that you have the goal, what's the process you've got to follow to hit the goal? And let's detach let's remove this attachment we have for outcomes and just get grounded in the daily process. Yesterday, we said your process should be in alignment with where your business comes from. And so we went and looked and talked about creating your lead flow map. And that was yesterday's call. So if you missed any of those, you can go to the podcast or YouTube and go back and watch them. It's totally great. Every podcast platform or my YouTube channel has it. Today's all about database, because when you look at your lead flow map, a bunch of that business is going to come from your database. That's absolutely going to be the case. And we want to grow it. I have some notes I want to share. Business grows to the size of your database and how consistently you communicate with it. See, you've always heard that your business is your database, and so you equate the success of your business just to the size of the database, but it's not necessarily about how many people are in it. What it's really about is this combination of how many people are in it and how often you communicate with those people. You know, we aren't going to put everybody in the database. We've got to have the right people in the database. The talking about the database is not some vanity metric that you talk around and go, I've got 7,282 people in my database. Now, you don't talk to any of them, so you actually have zero. See, I don't care how many people you have in the database. If you don't communicate with any of them, you have none. That's why next week's Inspire Call is all about creating at least a 75-plus touch plan. And I don't have a guest. There's no speaker. There's no PowerPoint. This will be driven by you, Inspire members, to jump on and just mastermind and chat together. It's one you want to attend live to talk about what are you doing to stay in a flow with the database. It's not, the goal is not about adding random names to the database. The goal is about deepening relationships inside of it. You know, some of you use different rankings. You can put in the chat how you classify the database. You might have VIPs, past clients, and other things. I just jotted down A plus, A, B, C, and D. A plus, A, B, C, and D. A plus is your past clients, high trust relationships, well-placed people who are likely to refer. Most of you probably call that a VIP, an A plus. An A is a past client, sphere of influence, you know, that you've got a good relationship with. Maybe they're not a constant referral person for you, but you've got a pretty tight relationship with them. That would be an A. A B is just people you know that you come across that you're in relationship with, but necessarily aren't fully engaged with them. A C could be like a random lead that came into an open house that you don't really have a connection with, but they're in your database because they raised their hand at some point and you'd like to develop that relationship. And then a D, well, that's someone that there's no relationship with and you probably should just go ahead and remove. My friend Casey Kinney in Oklahoma City posted the other day about, you know, there's this push all the time that you have to communicate with everybody in your database always. And she's like, I'd rather narrow it down to a smaller group of people and go all in on them to get my result. And I think she's right. I don't know that you have to have some massively huge database. I think it's fine to take out some names of people that you've never talked to, have no relationship, and are never going to give you a referral so that you can narrow your focus on the ones that are more likely to give you one. And I think we have to remember something about your database. And I think the thing we have to remember is that a majority of the people inside of your database do not need you this year. Josephine, you gave us an example of that earlier this morning, that you had someone in your database who you have been talking to, reaching out to and inviting to everything, and they're on your email newsletter, and they're getting your calls, and they're getting your texts, and she never responds, and never responds, and never responds. And what was it, like 6 years of just staying in the flow with her, and then she gave you a $600,000 referral. See, we should stay in flow with that person because they're a past client, but we shouldn't take their non-response as some sort of statement about who we are. They just don't need us. 95% of your database does not need you this year and doesn't know anybody who does need you this year, but you stay in contact with them anyway because eventually they'll become the 5%. That group who does need you, or they do come across someone who needs you, and you need them to think of you when they do that. And that's why I say we've got to have two things when it comes to our database. We've got to communicate consistently, which I think is north of 75 touches annually. It's really probably north of 100. And we need to be valuable in that communication with them. Consistency without value is annoying, and value without consistency is anonymous. So if you're just consistent and every time you reach out, all you ever say is, who do you know from church or work that wants to buy a home, sell a home, invest in real estate? And you do 100 of touches like that every single year, that is consistent and annoying. And they will eliminate you from their world and not be interested in talking to you. On the opposite end, if all you do every year is send one equity analysis on their home anniversary day to let them know how much equity they have in their house, which is highly valuable, by the way, but you don't do anything else, you're anonymous to them. When they come across someone who needs to buy or sell, you're not going to be the one they think of. So we've got to get into this flow of consistency and value. That's, by the way, what we'll talk about on Tuesday's Inspire Collective call. So I hope you will be there. But let me review quickly, and then I'll open it up for you to share, I think, some database mistakes that we make. First is we let it go dark. We let it go dark because we aren't communicating it with it enough. See, people tell me that they care about these people in their database, that these people are so important to them, that these are their past clients and their friends and their key relationships. And I go, so you're telling me you care more about the people than you do about the money, right? And they say, yes. And then I say, well, if that's true, why is it that you only talk to them when they're paying you? Like, if you care about the people more than you care about the money, you'll talk to them when they aren't paying you, not just when they are. And that's the next mistake people make, is that you only communicate when you want something. See, I need you to communicate even when you don't want anything. So mistake number one is you let your database go dark. Mistake number two is you only communicate with it when you want something. Who do you know from church or work that wants to buy a home, sell a home, or invest in real estate? If we get into a regular flow with them, they'll communicate with us when they need something, which is the point. Mistake number three is we treat all contacts the same. That's why I'm asking you to go back and do your grade, do your rating. Just sit down and go name by name by name. Is this an A+, you know, past client, high trust, likely to refer relationship? Or is it an A, a past client with a that I have a good relationship with, a real connection, but maybe they don't refer as much? Or is it a B, people that you just know in your sphere of influence who aren't necessarily super engaged in what you do, but they're relationships that you have? Or are they a C, some sort of unproven relationship that you need to warm up? Or are they a D, someone that you need to dump or delegate? We treat those contacts differently, just like Delta treats me differently than someone who flies them once a year. Next mistake we make is we aren't tracking our conversations. You know, we want to make sure that we've got a spot to take notes and enter stuff into the database so that the next time we reach out, we know what we talked about. And then finally, the last mistake we make is we overthink the message instead of just delivering value consistently. So if you think about what are your touches going to be, are you going to do events and each reach out is just an invite to an event? Are you? What does that look like? If you map out the call instead of overthinking it and just kind of, hey, what's the point I want to get across here? I think it'd be in really, really, really good shape. Now, again, Inspire members, we'll tackle this on Tuesday. We're doing 1-hour mastermind all around these touches. But I want to hear from you and your database thoughts. What are some ahas you've had around it? What are some changes you've made to it? How have you adapted it? Let's get some advice for people so they can better communicate with the database. Hope, good morning.
Good morning. So we got a little bit overwhelmed with our database because we had so many people that come to our events and all the things. We took our D database and kind of put it in a separate holding place. And they still get a DTD2 email. They don't get a phone call. They still get invited to all our events. They still get the newsletters. They get all the things, but it helped us not feel the pressure of mailing a DTD2 each week with the ones we should be calling. So what's in our database for each of us as agents is the people that we know, love, and actually have done business with. They're in our community, we know them. And then the other ones are in a separate database. They're getting attention, but the goal is to earn them a right into the IRET database, like to develop relationships with them and to move them to our databases after we've done that. So it kind of helped us not feel like a failure each week with doing the DTD2. Yep.
Hope, I mean, it would be so deflating every week to log into your CRM and have it tell you you're behind.
Right. And we would look at it and go, well, I need to call 300 people and we can't do it, you know?
You can't. It's not possible. But you don't really have 300 relationships this week that you need to call. There may be 30.
Right.
And the other ones can sit on the fringe. I love that you just, they're still getting your emails and maybe they'll reply to something or they'll remove themselves, right? They'll delete themselves or unsubscribe or whatever. But that you have segmented it in such a way that you know who to talk to and how often to talk to them. Hope, that's a great sharing. By the way, your business has exploded because of that. It's really smart.
Thank you.
Tulio Pena, good morning.
Hey there, James. You know, a lot of what you said today really rung a bell with me. And we have a lot of touches, our team does, over 200 a year. But with phone calls and direct calls, I sure as heck don't ask for business every single time. It's a lot of it, especially this time of year, man. I really want to dig deep into them. I want to know how their year was, what's going on in their world. And what you mentioned just a few minutes ago, James, is I'm taking the time after every call to type in the notes so that the next conversation I have is deep about their children, about their son at school, about their daughter that just entered the Marines. And I can ask how they're doing so they genuinely know that I truly care about them. And then maybe on the next call is the appropriate time to ask for business. The one other thing about asking for business that I learned that makes asking for business easier is to make sure you do it in group settings, at your client appreciation events. At some moment, we do a trivia contest at every client appreciation event, and I make my final question be an ask for business. And I actually teach them the three-way text in that final moment. So people always get in a bit, it's easier in a big group setting to ask for business, for them to learn it. And then when you're one-on-one, it's easy to remind them of asking for business and how to refer to us. So that's the tip I wanted to give.
Julio, thank you. Again, your business has really grown as you've applied these things. The key for someone like you, Tulio, to keep great notes is that at some point you won't be the only one calling. In fact, you may already be at that point. There'll be a point where you've got members of your team reaching out to people in the database, and they need to know what you talked about last time. And then when you call, you need to know what was talked about last time. The notes in the database are the only way to do that. Thank you, Tulio. Appreciate it. I'm bouncing around just trying to get people we haven't had this weekend already, so just bear with me as I figure that out. Erin Nelson's next. She's got an infant child driving the car this morning. I'm definitely going to get text messages about this one, Erin. Good morning.
We're teaching them young how to drive around here. Can you say good morning?
North Carolina, there are no rules. What you got?
We're in the parking lot. So I have been super, super intentional this year on my database. I started the database out with about a little over 1,600 contacts. And a lot of those are realtor.com leads of people I've never met. So I started cleaning them up and going through and going on Forewarn and looking at their phone number and finding their address and seeing if they bought and when did they buy. Did they buy before or after they were a lead that came into the database? Have I ever talked to them? Anyways, I'm down to a little over 800 people in my database now. I've been super intentional because I do mailers every month. And one of the things I realized last night that I wanted to kick myself for is I keep a binder of listing appointments that I've gone on that people have not actually listed with me. And there were people in that binder that were in my database. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I could have taken their kids' advent calendars this week. Or they could have been getting my fun, you know, ranch mailers or whatever it was. And it's like, what did I miss out on by not putting them in my database? So I am making sure every person, every lead I've ever gotten, I'm making sure they're in the database before the end of the year. And just being super focused. Everybody's on smart plans, touches. I'm sad I'm going to miss the call next week because we have our ALC clinic and I'm doing that this year. So, but I'll watch the recording. And then the other last thing I wanted to say is if you guys haven't played with smart plans lately, y'all know that I'm really big into my realtor.com smart plan, but one of the things they changed and I just learned is if you text them through Twilio, you can actually click a little button that says if they respond, it takes them off the automated text. Because people would be like, I just texted you back yesterday. Why are you texting me again? So go back. Command's always changing things. So just go back in and look. And if you guys downloaded my realtor.com smart plan, go back in and make that change so you're not sending them multiple texts for no reason.
That's good advice. Erin, thank you. Great aha, too. Have fun at the ALC clinic next week. Mark Martin, you get the last word this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, just wanted to say one of the things that has helped me tremendously is thinking of calls primarily as that relationship building. One of the things that you said earlier this year, and you already mentioned on this call, is do they know that you care even when you're not paying them? If I'm just calling them all the time, only when they've talked to me about a referral or only when I have an ask, then that's when I'm going to feel super salesy and like I'm not building that relationship like I ought to be. So I've learned and I've realized that a couple of things with that. One, calling to see how people are, checking with them, keep that relationship strong, build that relationship. And the email newsletter and my mailings are doing a lot of the hard work for the real estate top of mind. And if I'm calling them and checking with them and we're talking a while, connecting, asking about life, asking how things are going, a lot of times the conversation is just going to naturally turn into real estate. And I'm going to have to force that. And I think that actually was the second thing, is that a lot of times the conversation is just turned there. So let your touches do a lot of that and your systems do a lot of that hard lifting. And sometimes it is. It leads right into asking for something, and that's fine. But if you're doing those calls to build the relationship and you have enough credit and equity build up in the relationship, then you can make those asks and it doesn't feel cheap.
Yeah, no doubt. I think some things is, first, real estate's often going to come up if you just reach out in a general way anyway. They'll bring it up usually. If we're ever looking for kind of a model to follow for a call, I use this care, invite, help kind of framework for you. So a care is just a, you know, hey, Mark, how are you? I drove by your house. It made me think of you, or you were on my mind today, or whatever. And, you know, it could just be that it's M is the last name that I'm calling this week. And so I just thought of you and wanted to reach out. That's the care part. How are you? How's the family? Whatever. The invite part is the, if you're doing regular events, just invite them to whatever your next event is so that, you know, hey, we're doing blessing baskets and I wanted to make sure you knew about that. Or our first quarter, we're doing a movie night for the family. We would love to see you, you know, that sort of invite. And then a help is either how can they help you or how can you help them? It's one or the other. It's your choice. So one example of that, this is how they could help you is, hey, I saw that there was a home that just came on the market in your neighborhood. And sometimes we find that when one home goes on the market, other people are interested in selling. Do you know of anyone that's thinking about selling right now that we can help? Like, that's an example of how they could help you. Or another one might be, you know, I just want to remind you as we get into the wintertime, that's a time that, you know, you flip on the heat for the first time and all of a sudden it's not working or whatever. I'm just making stuff up. If you ever need a vendor to be able to help you, if you need an HVAC guy or something like that, I've got people. I just want to remind you that that's something I can help you with if you ever need it. Like, that's how you can help them. So you can just think about that framework for a call to make it super simple. Show them you care, invite them to something, and then a help ask. Either they help you or you help them. And that really sets you up to succeed there. And the next is, you do need a system for this. You've got to have some sort of thing. I still think Steve Schleter and Tammy Young's DTD2 is the way. I think that's absolutely the way to keep you into a flow with the database. Nearly all of you are aware of it, but not enough of you are following it. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about a standard, having a daily contact standard. And I will weave in DTD2 to that, along with some other stuff to be able to help you. Inspire members, we have a calculator that we'll share with you to help you figure out what your daily standard is. And so we'll go into that piece of it tomorrow. But I hope this is valuable to you today. If you're in Minneapolis, I will somehow brave this weather without a coat where it's 4 below 0 and make my way up to hang out with you for a shift workshop today. Everybody else, have a good one. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.